Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, your host, and I've spent over 4 decades in the business world. I've witnessed firsthand the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking. In this podcast, we'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving business. I'm here with Jess Keller, owner of Light and Lens Studio in Glens Falls on Broad Street, which is opening on Saturday. Nice to meet you.
Thank you as well.
Why don't you start by just telling me a little bit about your background and how you got, because you're a photographer.
A hobby photographer, yeah.
Okay, so how did you get started in photography?
So I have been interested in digital photography since I was like a teenager. That was something that I did, you know, all throughout high school. I took photography classes and, you know, got my first camera, I think, when I was like 13. And once I went to college, we actually had a dark room. So we had, we called it a photo lab. So we had the dark room, we had digital, all that kind of stuff. And I worked there all 4 years of college. By the end, I was actually running the whole lab. So I was finally able to learn how to do film, which I always wanted to do and have been missing since I was in college. So
where'd you go to college?
I went to Hofstra University on Long Island.
That's because that's in the city area.
Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think their darkroom survived COVID. Many didn't, but it's also why I want to kind of have something here.
That's great. So you've continued on doing your hobby photography, and now you've opened up this facility so that other people can come and do the traditional film and also studio space.
Yes.
So yeah. How did you get that idea?
I knew I always wanted to start a business, and preferably in the art world. I guess when it comes to the darkroom and studio and things like that, there weren't places where people could go and just kind of either rent the space or even just artistic hangout spaces, so to speak. You know, because the equipment is expensive. Setting up a darkroom is, you got to get the chemicals, you got to get everything. So I wanted to make it more accessible for people. And talking to photographers in the area and things like that and learning kind of what we didn't have, I came up with the idea to do the rental studio first, and I was like, I'm adding a dark room. And then the gallery part, I've always just wanted to kind of be able to display people's work, support local photographers and things like that. Another thing I did in college was called the Form Gallery. So we had each week, it was students that filtered out and they could set up a whole room as their own art display. And so I helped to like set those up and curate that, and you know, I kind of just wanted to put everything together into one big mishmash.
So kind of anything related to photography is available here now. So you've got the studio, you've got, because you've got the lighting for that people can use, so they don't have to have their own lighting, and the dark room. So but you can help people with their digital as well as with the traditional film.
Yep.
Here.
Yeah.
And then now you've got studio space.
Yeah. Dark room, studio, gallery.
Gallery space, sorry.
Yep.
So, and there's lots of room for that here. And also, when you first come in the entryway, there's a space where you're going to have the calendar, where you'll have all the events that are coming up, and a bulletin board for photographers and related people to post their business cards and information. So, like you were saying, that if someone's looking for a certain type of photographer, and you're not doing that kind of work, then you can refer them on to other people. So community space.
Yes. Community is the big part. Is I, even like in the area we're sitting in now, I want it to be that people can, obviously you have to rent the studio or rent time to use the dark room, but I want people to be able to just kind of come in and hang out and have that artistic conversation, that was, again, when I was in college, when I felt most inspired, was just sitting in space with other artists. And even if we're all working on our own things, or, you know, it's like getting people's opinions on it or things like that. It's just kind of creating that space. I need to be visually in a space in order to be able to kind of focus in. Home was not cutting it for me.
Yeah, it's like people are done with Zoom now.
Yeah.
Right? They want to get together. They want to talk face-to-face, share ideas,
yeah.
Right? And expertise and help each other out.
Yeah.
You were saying, too, you're hoping to have some classes.
Yes. So classes, I want to do like beginner darkroom. So how to develop film, how to print on the paper, eventually getting into some more alternative processes. I do have a photographer that I am working with who volunteered to teach a lot of the alternative process classes. Those take a lot more chemicals and time, but eventually that will be happening. And then, you know, basic studio lighting, or, you know, even how to, you know, display your artwork, how to get it ready to display. I also want to have critique nights and things like that, so everyone can just kind of get together and brainstorm.
Something like that at the moment in this area.
Yeah.
Are you from this area?
I'm actually from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yes.
You went to college on Long Island.
Yes.
So how'd you end up here?
I picked a spot on a map.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I'm from New Jersey. I went to undergrad on Long Island, and then I did graduate school back in New Jersey. I actually am an LCSW, so social worker.
I was going to ask you what your day job is.
So I'm a therapist. I actually work right across the street, which is why this location was perfect. But after graduate school, me and my partner that I was with at the time, we wanted to be able to get away from New Jersey life, because also the pandemic was just hitting when we moved up here May 2020.
Oh, wow.
So everything was closed. But both our families were in New Jersey, and we wanted to kind of get that new start that was closer to nature. Things were a bit more, not moving nearly as fast as Jersey. It has gotten busier up here as the years on, but, I had done an interview for a job in Albany, and then they were like, well, we do have a Queensbury location that we're looking for people. And I was like, oh, okay. And literally in the parking lot of that place was Googling the rental prices for Queensbury. And we're like,
Albany.
Yep. And we just made our way up here, and this is where we've been.
So that's great. A lot of people did find their way up here during the pandemic.
Yeah, it's very nice to be around nature, and I still haven't gotten used to driving and just seeing mountains, because New Jersey's flat.
Yeah. And it's not hard to get down to the city if you want to get down to the city.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that it's, you know, 3 or 4 lanes only or whatever it is very different than Jersey, too. That was like our small highway.
Yeah. When I go to New Jersey, it's always like highway.
Yeah. Like, you got 6 lanes of traffic and planes flying over.
I know there are more country areas in New Jersey.
Yes.
But because I was in the city for a long time, that my experience with New Jersey is pretty much highway.
Yeah. Yep. That's how you get everywhere.
So it's a big change. So you've settled here.
Yes. Yep. Been here for 5 years.
So you've built a bit of a community already before starting this. So you found that there was a need for this.
Yes.
So how has the response been since you started? Like, I saw this on Facebook. A friend of mine just liked your post and shared your post. So that's how I found out about
it. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that, by the way. So you keep sharing that.
Sure. Yeah.
So once I kind of got settled up here with my own photography, as I said, more of a hobby photographer. So I wanted to be able to start selling my work at different like craft shows and things like that. And so I very slowly, like over a course of a few years, finally got to do some. This past year, actually, I did, I think, the most that I've done, but it was still not a lot. I try to do like 1 a month, if that. But it's been a really great way to be able to meet other artists and, you know, be able to just, whether it's talk about the art, talk about what the community's missing, what is good in the, you know, I've learned so much. A lot of the darkroom equipment actually was donated by Kelmview Farms, which is actually, she sells flowers, but she had, our tents were next to each other at one of the shows. And so she came over and we were talking and she was like, I have a full darkroom set up. I would love to be able to do it again, but just don't have the space. And I was like, any chance you would be willing to donate to a community project?
So that is amazing.
Yes.
I was going to ask you, because this is a significant investment.
Yes.
Because you're renting space here, lots of equipment that you may have been building up yourself over the years.
Some of it, yeah.
As a hobby photographer, it's not a cheap hobby.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a big investment and you've got nice equipment. So it is a bit of an investment to start with.
Yeah, I definitely had to save up some money first.
You were saying you found some things in estate sales, which is interesting. So, because I kind of thought, and I'd always wondered if there were still people that were doing any darkroom work.
Yeah, so a lot of estate sales will get posted on like Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist. And there was one in particular in Saratoga Springs that the gentleman had passed away and he had a full dark room in his basement. It was taken apart and everything over the years. But a lot of people have the equipment and don't know what to do with it.
They inherited it or it was
right.
Somewhere and...
Yep. Like I have one enlarger set up, but I have two more in a closet, you know, so there's a lot of ways to get all the equipment and furniture and things like that. It still altogether costs a lot of money, but it was a lot cheaper being able to do it that way so that this can be more of an affordable space for photographers too. Because I don't want to make people rent the darkroom or the studio for a ton of money. And we're artists. We don't have a lot to
spare.
So I wanted to be able to make it affordable, and the way of doing that was like making it affordable for others. I have to make it affordable for myself first.
Absolutely, yeah. Because you want to be sustainable. You don't want to then just go out, like we were saying, how many people have come and gone from the spaces around here. People, and you need to make a go of it. Like it'll take a while maybe before, you know, it starts to maybe at least pay itself off.
Right. Yeah. And I knew that going into it too, which is why I am still working full-time at the same time. And it actually took a little bit longer to set this up than I had anticipated because I was working all day and then coming here at night and on weekends.
So you probably overestimated your own energy level.
Yeah, because most things in here were done by me or with the help of my partner or friends. Really, the only like professional services were like plumbing and electric. Like everything else was built by me and installed and all that kind of stuff.
You can do it.
Yeah, thank you. I just did that cart over there, which I'm really excited about.
So, and chances are, as the community builds, there's going to be people that would be willing to do things that might be needed as you go along. But that's great.
Yes.
So it's nice to have that community aspect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So people can rent studio space or rent darkroom space. Is it like by the hour?
Yes. So it is by the hour. Eventually, I want to be able to also have more of like a membership model where you pay, you know, a flat fee and, you know, whether it's getting the hourly rate discounted or just having it kind of all inclusive. Right now, you can rent for up to 8 hours because that's as long as we're open. So
I might need a whole day.
Yep. And even if someone wanted to do it for, you know, they wanted the space for multiple days, like we could accommodate that. Even though we're only open Thursday through Sunday, because I work Monday through Wednesday as a therapist, if someone needed those times, they could message me and we can figure something out. You know,
it's great to have that flexibility.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or if people want the middle of the night for some reason, I mean, as long as I can plan for it.
As you get to know people too, you'll find ways to make it work.
Yep.
Which is great. Like I said, the flexibility is going to be something that could be very useful.
Yes.
To see what people need. And
absolutely.
So what kind of response have you had so far?
I've had pretty good response. The darkroom has definitely been what has been drawing people in, even just to our social media. There's no darkroom that is like a community outside space kind of within 2 hours of here. closest one, I think, is in Vermont. And a lot of the dark rooms I looked at as well are nonprofits, which is very different than this. But with that, there's been a lot of people that have been excited about the darkroom aspect, whether it's to get back into it, to learn how to do it, even if it's just developing their film and then scanning it later. I've had a lot of feedback on like social media and things like that. Instagram and Facebook have been the two biggest. I did start a TikTok, but I think I only had one video on it. Yeah.
Even though you're a photographer,
right?
I think it'd be easy.
Yeah.
But
it's not. But I've had a lot of people that have been interested and waiting for the place to open. I do like a monthly newsletter as well and have gotten some really great feedback. You know, I was providing updates all along the way of, okay, here's, you know, the space completely empty. And one of the pictures I have on there is a couch hanging out on the back of my car tied in. And people loved that. I got really good feedback, like great feedback on that, because they liked seeing kind of the from the ground up process rather than just seeing, okay, here's the space.
Mm-hmm.
And it got people engaged too, because they wanted to keep coming back. And
you do get a list.
I think right now it's only around like 30 or so, but
they're really engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've had, you know, I've been able to get equipment and things from there. As I said, like the one photographer that is going to eventually be doing classes for more alternative processes, he signed up for the newsletter and, you know, we started talking, and that's kind of how he came involved. And, you know, everybody's been willing to offer their services or help out. So it's been really nice too, that they don't even, it's not that they just want to use the space, but they want to help with it as well.
Yeah. Cause like how many people actually know how to use a dark room, use the equipment and things like that. So that's what I would imagine a lot of people would be interested, but wouldn't have a clue.
Right.
And it's, you got to do it right. I'm developing.
Yes. You have one chance of developing. And
I didn't even know if you could still buy film.
Yep, you can still buy film. All the chemicals they still make. I only have the chemicals for black and white film. When it comes to color film, it gets a bit more complicated. So I only have stuff for black and white right now. I've already had people be like, you know, I have these old film rolls. I don't know what's on them. Like, can you develop them? I will be. So
how long will film last when developed?
Once it's developed, it can last a very long time, especially
if it's been like, if you've taken a roll and it's been sitting in a drawer for years, will that?
It depends on whether or not it's been temperature controlled and whether or not it's been exposed to light. So film actually prefers to be cold, so like in the refrigerator, and obviously not exposed to light.
You might have some rolls sitting around.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know what's on this.
Yeah. That's the thing is, it's not. You can't see it.
And there's like no place to take it anymore. Like there used to be, I forget what they call 1 hour photo. And
yeah, like CVS. And
yeah,
I think they might still do it. I'm not even sure. I know Target doesn't do it anymore.
They do the printing of
digital. Yeah, a lot of things, like there's services throughout New York, but you have to mail your film in and then you get it mailed back. I don't. Personally, I don't trust the mail system that much, because it's something that you only have one of, and you don't know that it's going to be temperature controlled and not thrown around and scratched. And, you know, so being able to even just bring the film in and have it not leave your hands can be a really nice aspect to it as well.
And you said you might also process for people if they didn't want to do the thing.
Yep. I do eventually want to offer those services as well. So processing the film, because some people find it very meditative and therapeutic, and some people absolutely despise it.
Scary.
Yeah.
Like you said, because you got to do it right.
Yeah, each film, like depending on the brand, has a different way of being processed, whether it's with different times or different chemicals, or it gets very complicated, different dilution rates. It's the whole thing. So it can, there's a lot of variables. And again, you only have one chance. So, you know, it's eventually I do want to be able to do that for people as well, though, to kind of take that guesswork out of it.
And then they might see, like, you've got a class here. So mm-hmm. once they do a class.
Yep. And I want to teach them how to do.
Getting into it.
Yeah. Teach them how to develop the film and print so that they can then rent the space to use. Like, that's the hope is if I did that, or with the studio part, if I did, you know, a class on beginner lighting, so then people can come in and just have to bring your camera because everything else is here. You know, things like that is really what I'm aiming for.
So can you give me an idea of the cost for the studio space and for the dark room?
Yeah, so the dark room, I believe is, sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but it's $30 an hour, and then the studio, I believe, is $35 an hour. And the way that I priced it was basically just on making it sustainable, not necessarily making a huge buck. But also I have it basically, so you take the rate, the base hourly rate, and say you want 2 hours, so you double it, and then you take $5 off.
Okay.
Or, you know, say you wanted 4 hours, you take, you know, this, say you want the dark room for 4 hours, $30, and then 30 times 4 would be 120, and then you take $5 off. So that's kind of how I figured out the pricing.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll see how it works.
Yeah.
And what's your website address?
So it's lightandlensgf.com.
And people can reserve space.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all up and running right now.
Yes. Yep.
That's great.
Yeah. And all of the social media is the same. So it's Light and Lens GF. Light and Lens was taken. GF for Glens Falls Beach.
Right. And have you got people booked in yet?
I do not. I
get booking people.
I know. I've been refreshing my email every day. When I wake up, I'm like, did anybody reserve yet? I keep getting a little, I don't know, what do you want to say? Tricked almost, because my friend helped me and did a sample
reservation.
Yeah. And then I go in and I'm like, oh, never mind. That was the test.
Yeah, who opened your email? And I'll be like, oh, you had all these. And it's like, oh, yeah, that was me.
Yep. Yeah.
Making sure that it went right.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Yes. So I'm hoping, though, that as time goes on and people see the space.
Yeah, I think so. The word will get around.
Absolutely. I've been trying to do some more updated photos, too, because I had gotten some feedback of some people that came in and they're like, online it does not look like this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, because I kind of forgot after a while. I was keeping updates on little parts but not the big picture, so I'll be trying to get some updated photos and like a walkthrough on the website, things like that, so people know what to expect before they even come in.
Yeah.
And they're always welcome to just come and walk through and see the space or come hang out or mm-hmm. you know, whatever they want.
Yeah, once people know that and the times and everything, then they'll probably be a bit more open to coming.
Yes.
Because at first it's kind of like, because unfortunately it's a busy corner, but people, there's a light right there.
Yep.
So people are zooming by. Mm-hmm. They might get a quick look at it, but it's not like a lot of people are walking
right
around here.
Yeah.
But people will get to know it.
Yeah.
One more. If you have a launch party.
I do want to have something like that. Yeah, I'm working with an event planner who she's been nice enough to volunteer her services. Another person who was willing to
shout out.
Yeah, her name is Bridget. I don't actually remember what her. I'm just so bad with names. Let me see if I can find her thing here. But she actually lives down in the city, and she offered to kind of do event planning, even if it's just from afar.
Even once you get to know people up here, like the artist community, they mm-hmm. do seem to be a really tight-knit.
Yes, yeah. So her name is Bridget Haggerty.
Okay.
So it's B. Haggerty Photo, because she's a photographer as well.
Mm-hmm.
I met her on Instagram.
Yep. So it's a good way to get to meet people. But now you can actually meet people in person here.
Yep, and I already have someone that was nice enough. His name's Andrew, who is going to do, during the grand opening, like a step and repeat where you can take photos of people they'll just like take their photo and, you know, to kind of commemorate the event, you know, that will be in trade for being able to use the studio and things like that. Like, that's a huge part too, is I am more than happy to trade as well, especially if it helps both parties out. More than happy to do so. I've been trying to partner with even some local businesses I've reached out to, because we're all kind of in it together. So trying to make those connections.
Yeah, that's a great way to get started.
Yeah.
Because it's so expensive if you're just going to go in it on your own. And,
yes.
You know, as I said, rely on the artist community here.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.